All right, also good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Pei Aleph. We are picking up Im Yartzeh Hashem on Pei Amud Beis. A lot to do today. So let's pick up in the wide lines, the third wide line in on Pei Amud Beis. Itmar, Siman Yisris. So the Gemara says that these signs, ultimately again of a Siris, Rafuna Amar Achi Hukum. So also in yesterday's daf, we saw that the Gemara went through the list of all the different simanim that make someone a Siris. So the Rav Huna said, Achi Hekulam, in order to be considered a Siris, a person must possess all of these Siris qualities as enumerated above. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Abba Achamar. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, even if a person just possesses one of these features, then lemaise again it makes him a siris. So the Gemara says, "Heichad da hevi shtei saros bezakan." So if an individual has sprouted some level of facial hair, he has some hairs on his face. Koli amalo pligi da achi kulan. Everyone agrees that once he has facial hair, that's indicative already of masculinity, and therefore the only time he'd be a siris is if indeed he possessed all of these other qualities. So keep pligi, when do they have the machlokis? Bishalo hevi, if a person has not sprouted any level of facial hair. So the Gemara says, in that case, then Rav Huna will say that he's only a siris if he has all the qualities, and Rabbi Yochanan says, even if he has one of them. So the Gemara says, Ela hal d'amalu rabba bar avua l'rabbanan. But yeah, what about this episode where Rabba bar avua said to the rabbis, Ainu bein Barav Nachman. Interestingly enough, apparently Rabbi Bar Avua was going to marry his daughter off to Rav Nachman, and he said to the other rabbis, "Do me a favor." Apparently Rav Nachman didn't look very masculine, so he said, "I b'sara ma'ala hevel esiv le beras." If when you go to the bathhouse with him during the winter, during the rainy season, if you see that vapor steam comes off his skin, then I'll be willing to marry off my daughter to him. In other words, what we saw in yesterday's daf, that's one of the signs of masculinity. So as the Gemara says, so you see from here that essentially what Rabbi Bar Avua was saying is, as long as Rav Nachman does not possess all of the qualities of a siris, he's not a siris. So if his skin emits vapor, then that's going to be enough. So the Gemara says, come on, whose opinion does this reflect? Ki Rav Huna, because according to Rav Huna, halach lemaisa, you're only a siris if you have all of the siris qualities. To which the Gemara says, no, Rav Nachman, sichi dik no havyale. No, it's not true. It could even be according to Rabbi Yochanan. But what was different with Rav Nachman is Rav Nachman had little patches of facial hair. So because he had little patches of facial hair, that was indicative, again, to some degree of masculinity. And therefore, lemaisa, everyone agrees, as we said above, that if you have some facial hair, lemaisa, again, you are not considered to be a siris until you have all of the other siris-like qualities. So the Gemara goes weiter. Hasaris l'cholis v'lo miyavim mechin eilinis. So a saris does not do yibum, does not do chalitza, just like an islandess, and so too with an islandess, to which the Gemara says, Katoni saris dumya da islandess. We are comparing ultimately again a saris to an islandess. Ma islandess bide shamayim, just like an islandess, Rabosai, is a situation, it's a state which one is born in. Av saris bidei shamayim. So too, again, the saris that we refer to that can't do yibum or chalitza is a saris who was born that way. Ustama ki Rabbi Akiva, and we see over here that the Stam Mishnah reflects a view of Rabbi Akiva, the Amar bide Adam in bide Shalom Abbas. Remember again, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that a Swiss Adam can do Yibum and can do Chalitza, because again, according to Rabbi Akiva, he had what the Mishnah called the Shas HaKosher. He had a time in which, again, he was fit, because he's a Swiss Adam, which means this was not his natural born state. But if he's a Swiss, he's what called the Swiss Chamo, the Gemara Rabbi Akiva said that Lamaisi can't do Yibum or Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Hasar Shechalis Levim Tolo Paslos. So remember again, the Mishnah said, if you have the situation of a Swiss Chamo, if you have this situation where the Maisa person was born as a Sris and then he did Chalitza, so the Chalitza is meaningless. But if he did Yibo, meaning if he had Bia with her, then ultimately again that Bia would invalidate her for the Kahuna. To which the Gemara says, Taima de Ba'alo Hu. The reason, so also again remember, so in this case over here, Reuven dies without children, leaves behind the widow. His brother Shimon is a Sris Chamo, is a Sris who was born this way. A Swiss was born this way. So again, if he does Chalitza, if Shimon does Chalitza with the widow, that Chalitza is meaningless. If he goes ahead and he has a Bia with her, that Bia would invalidate her for the Kahuna. So the Gemara says, Taima de Ba'alo. The reason, ultimately, again, why it's problematic is because he had Bia with her. Ha'acher lo. But we can infer from her, from here, that if she were to have had bia with someone else, i.e. someone other than the Yavam, that Lamaisa, that would not pose a problem. Look at last Rashi in Amud Beis. Time of the Ba'alahu, the Havya Zona, the Nivala La'achi Baila Shalom Makom Mitzvah. Because we'll say if she has bia with the Siris, ultimately, again, that's bia with her deceased husband's brother in a place where there's no mitzvah. Vehi haisala b'karis. And remember, again, that's partial by karis, top of pe aleph. But the inference is that lemaisa, were she to have bia with another man, that would not render her a zona. To which the Gemara says, lema to have it yufta Rav Hamnuna. This is seemed to refute the position of Rav Hamnuna. What did Rav Hamnuna say? The Amar shomeres yavam shezinsa, because Rav Huna said that a shomeres yavam that engaged in znus. Remember, shomeres yavam is a woman waiting for yibum that engaged in znus. Psula liyavma. It's ultimately again. She's psula to her yavama. To which I will say again. So Hamnuna says that if she has bia with any man other than her yavama, ultimately again, that's like quasi adultery. Rashi says psula liyavama keishes ish shezinsa shasura labayla v'chevan dezonahi asura lakuna. So I will say. So the Mishnah seems to refute this position because according to the Mishnah, it sounds like it's only bia with the brother, with the Sris brother, that renders her invalid for the kuna, but bia with another man would not. And this refutes the position of Rav Hamnuna. As Rav Hamnuna says that essentially a woman waiting for Yibum is effectively kind of like an Eishes Ish, like a wife. And therefore, Lemaisa, again, if she has bia with another man, that would render her again unfit for the kuna. To which the Gemara says, lo, huwa din afil la'achar nami, it's not true, meaning even bia with someone other than the Sris Yavam, say even bia with another man, would render her unfit for the kuna. Aye, so why does it just say the Sris? The aidi de tana reisha bididei, tana nami seifa bididei. But says the Gemara, since the reisha was talking about the ramifications of bia with the Sris, so to the seifa also states it in terms of the ramifications of bia with the Sris. V'chein, eilinis shechaltzu la'achin. So says the Gemara, so too again, if you have an eilinis who did chalitza with the brothers, and I will say again, in this case, same thing. The surviving widow, ultimately again, the widow is an eilinis. In the case where the widow is an eilinis, so the Mishnah said, if the brothers do chalitza with her, so that chalitza is meaningless. Because again, she's not subject to the laws of Yibam because she can't bear children. So if the brothers did chalitza with her, the chalitza is meaningless. However, again, if one of the brothers had bia with her, ultimately, again, this would render her a zona. To which the Gemara says, taima, meaning when they render her a zona, meaning that if they were to have bia with her, it would preclude her from ever marrying into the kuhuna. So taima de ba'aluha. So the reason, ultimately, again, that lemaisa, she is psula, is because they had bia with her. Ha lo ba'alu ha lo, but were there not to be any bia with the brothers, then it would not render her invalid for the kuhuna. Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? De lo ki Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? De'i Rabbi Yehuda ha amar eilinis zoni. We had this earlier on. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that an eilinis is a zona. That he says, again, obviously I will say a different application of that term, but Lamaisa, he includes her under the umbrella of Zona, and therefore Lamaisa, even before she has any bia with the brothers, bless you, she would still not be able to go ahead and, bless you, and marry any of the brothers. So therefore, again, you see from here that the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yehuda, because according to the Mishnah, the only time that this eilinis widow becomes prohibited from marrying into the kuhuna is when she has bia with one of the brothers. But again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even without bia with one of the brothers, she's still precluded from marrying into the kuhuna because she's an eilinis. Okay, says the Mishnah. Next, Siris Chama Kohen, Shenasa Bas Kohen. So I will say, so what happens? Bas Yisrael, thank you. So what happens? You have a Siris Chama Kohen. A Siris Chama Kohen is a Kohen who's a Siris Chama. Siris Chama means, again, remember, he's born in a state of sterility. So again, Rabbi Yisrael, he is a Sris Chama Kohen, Shenasa Bas Yisrael, and he married a Bas Yisrael. Remember again, this is not a contradiction, right? Because remember again, we already established that although a Sris is really what? A Sris halachically is what? Is a Ptsuadaka or a Krushavcha, right? He falls into one of those two categories. The prohibition of a Krushavcha or Ptsuadaka marrying into Kahal Yisrael is only when? In a Sris Adam, where that state happened as a result of an injury of some other man called man-made occurrence. But if he was born that way, there is no problem with him marrying into Kal Yisrael. So this is a legal marriage. So this Rishchama Kohen marries a Bas Yisrael. What's the halacha? Ma'achi the betruma. He entitles her to eat truma. Because after all, again, she's now the wife of a Kohen. He entitles her to eat truma. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon say, androgynous Kohen, Shenasa Bas Yisrael, Ma'achi the betruma. Similarly, if you have an androgynous Kohen, so what's an androgynous Kohen? Remember, androgynous is a person who has both male and female characteristics. So the androgynous Kohen marries a Bas Yisrael. So too, Ma'achi the betruma. He entitles her to go and eat truma. Rabbi Huda says, Tumtum shenikra zocher. I will say, if you have the tumtum, remember, tumtum is a person who has a membrane that covers the sexual organs, and it's not immediately clear what the person is. So tumtum shenikra. If you have a tumtum, that the membrane was torn open, v'nimtza zocher, and it turns out that he's a male. Lo yachlots mipnei shu kisar. So we'll say, interestingly enough, a tumtum, even after it's established that he's a male, has the status of a saris for reasons that we'll discuss. Androgynous, no se avalonisa. An androgynous can marry a woman, but an androgynous cannot be taken in marriage by another man. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, androgynous chayavan alav skila kizocher. Rabbi Eliezer says, if a man has relations with an androgynous, he is chayiv skila as if he engaged in an act of homosexuality with another man. Or in other words, they both say, what is that saying? That an androgynous is treated like a man. So we've established that point already, again, in three different ways. First of all, you have Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon saying, so I'll say, here's what comes out from this Mishnah. What comes out from this Mishnah is, number one, Sris Chama Kohen, who marries a woman, who marries a Bas Yisrael, entitles her to marry to eat Shuma. That's number one. Number two, androgynous Kohen, who marries a woman, entitles her to go ahead and eat Shuma, which indicates to us what? That an androgynous is considered to be like a man, which is bolstered by the end of the Mishnah, which says that an androgynous can marry a woman, but another man cannot take an androgynous as a wife, even though, again, the androgynous has female organs as well. And furthermore, again, a man who engages in relations with an androgynous, that is an act of homosexuality and is punishable by skila. Okay, so that's what we have. Now I left out the middle of that Mishnah. The middle of the Mishnah deals with tumtum and tells us that lamaisa tumtum, even if the membrane is opened up and it turns out that he's a man, he is still considered to be like a suris. Okay, so we'll go over all this in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, pshita. So we'll say the first statement of the Mishnah that a suris chama who marries a bas Yisrael, that he entitles her to eat truma. That's obvious, right? Meaning, what's the chiddush? I will say, remember, once you establish that what? That a Sris Chama is permitted to marry a Jewish woman, so now that once he's permitted to marry, and he's a Kohen and she's a Bas Yisrael, of course, he tells her to teach him what's the chiddush? To which the Gemara says, Ma'od etema molid ma'achil, shina molid eno ma'achil. Perhaps you would have thought that it's only a Kohen who is capable of having children with this woman that entitles her to eat truma, but a Kohen who isn't capable of having children with this woman does not entitle her to eat truma. Kamash Malal, no, that is not the case. That even if this is a union that cannot produce children, nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, he still entitles her to eat truma. Look at Rashi, Ma'o detema molid ma'achil. Rashi says, "Dedaikinon v'yilid beso heim yochelu." Because Rabbi say the Torah, when it speaks about the license to consume truma, speaks about it in the context of yilid beso, those who are born to his house. So I might have thought that only a Kohen who is capable of creating yilid beso, ultimately, again, entitles his wife to truma, but if he's not capable of doing so, he does not entitle her to truma. Kamash malon, that under all circumstances, as long as the marriage is legal, she's permitted to go ahead and consume truma. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, androgynous. So remember, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon said that an androgynous Kohen who married a Bas Yisrael, he entitles her to truma. Omer Eish Lakish, ma'achilu b'truma, ve'in ma'achila b'chazei v'shok. So we'll say, this is interesting. Rabbi Shlakish says, yes, he entitles her to eat truma, but he does not entitle her to eat chazei v'shok. So we'll say chazei v'shok means the chest and the thigh of an animal. One of the matnos kuna, one of the Kohanic gifts that Kohanim receive is that if I offer up a karban, anytime I offer up a karban, Anytime I offer up an animal. So lemais again, the kohen gets the chest and the thigh of the animal. That's a kohanic gift. So the Reish Lakish infers from here that the Mishnah says he only entitles her to eat truma, but would not an androgynous kohen would not entitle his wife to eat chazei v'shok. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan Omer. Af ma'achid l'chazei v'shok. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, halacha l'maisa, he even entitles her to go ahead and eat chazei v'shok. So the Gemara says, Ud Reish Lakish, ma'ishna chazei v'shok, da'araisa. So we'll say, so according to Reish Lakish, why does he say that she doesn't get to eat chazei v'shok? Why, says the Gemara? Because l'maisa, again, maybe according to Reish Lakish, chazei v'shok is da'araisa. Chazei, right, that is a biblical portion. And maybe she's not entitled to eat that. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, truma nami daraisa. But truma is also a biblical nature. So I don't understand if she's, if again, Rabosai, if marriage to an androgynous kohen entitles you to eat truma, then Reish Lakish says it should also entitle you to eat chazei v'shok. Excuse me, the Gemara is asking, Reish Lakish, if you say that a marriage to an androgynous kohen entitles you to eat truma, which is daraisa, it should entitle you to what? To eat chazei v'shok, which is also daraisa. To which the rest says, no, hacham askina, what's the case here? Betruma bizman hazeh derabanon. Oh, what's the case, Rabbi Osei? The case is truma bizman hazeh, which is derabanon. Now this is actually very interesting. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, actually, not yet. Yeah, actually, hachana mikamar. Rashi says, v'hachi mishtama mil, say Reish Lakish, ma'achila betruma kolomar, Bizman hazeh she'ein noig ela truma ve'ina ma'achila b'klum bizman shechazei v'shok noagin. Actually, no, I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead. Sorry. So the Gemara says like this. So therefore, I will say what Reish Lakish is suggesting is that what does it mean if a woman marries an androgynous kohen that she could eat truma? That's dafka truma bizman hazeh. That's dafka truma again during this time, meaning post temple, where lemais again there is a concept of truma, but it's drabanon. However, the Gemara says, but Reish Lakish, what would you say about the times when the Beis HaMikdash stood? So we'll say, here's what we have so far. So Reish Lakish is telling us that what? That marriage to an androgynous kohen allows a woman to go ahead and eat truma. But what kind of truma? What kind of truma? Truma drabanon. Truma d'Rabbanon is bizman hazeh. So what you're telling me then is, Reish Lakish, what about when the Beis HaMikdash stood and Truma is da'araisa? What did you say in that case? And Reish Lakish says, my, lo. Reish Lakish says that lamaisa again, she would not be permitted to eat biblical Truma. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, if that's the case, adetani ein ma'achila b'chazei v'shok. Reish Lakish, instead of getting into a discussion about whether or not she can eat chazei v'shok, liflog v'lisnei b'didein. Why don't you make a distinction in Truma itself? When do we say that a woman married to an androgynous kohen, bless you, could go and eat Truma? That's b'truma d'rabanan. Ava b'truma d'araisa lo. But again, she can't eat Truma d'araisa. Meaning, what the Gemara is saying over here is, why do you get into a discussion about chazei v'shok? I will say, one thing everybody agrees with is that what? Chazei v'shok is only what? Is only d'araisa. Right? Because again, there's only chazei v'shok when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So you don't even have to get into chazei v'shok. Reish Lakish, why don't you get into just define your terms in terms of truma. If you say that what, when does a woman who's married to an androgynous kohen get to eat truma? When? Only when it's d'rabanan. But if it's d'araisa, no. By definition, if you make that statement, I'll know that what? That she can't eat chazei v'shok. To which the Gemara says, Hachi nami kamer, this is what it's saying. Kishu ma'achila, when the androgynous kohen entitles his wife to eat truma, ma'achila b'truma bizman hazeh d'rabanan. He only entitles her to eat rabbinic truma, which is the truma of contemporary truma. Ve'ein ma'achila bizman chazeh v'shok. And furthermore, again, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, he would not have entitled her to eat chazeh v'shok. Va'afilu b'truma d'rabanan. Now we'll say, watch this. And according to Reish Lakish, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, an androgynous kohen would also not entitle his wife to eat rabbinic truma. Why? Dilma asi la'ochla b'truma d'araisa, lest you come to also give her truma d'araisa. So I will say, what comes out, Shitas Reish Lakish is like this. When the Beis HaMikdash stands, if a woman is married to an androgynous kohen, what could she eat? What can she eat? Nothing. She can't eat chazei v'shol because it's daraisa. She can't eat truma daraisa because it's daraisa. And she can't eat truma d'rabbanan lest she come to consume truma daraisa. Rabbi Yossi, remember, all of this is to a certain degree hedging our bets a little bit regarding the androgynous. That's what we're doing. However, in the Beis HaMikdash does not stand, and therefore, again, obviously there's no chazei v'shok, there's no truma daraisa, all there is truma d'rabbanan. In that case, we will let her eat. Rabbi Yochanan says, 1 second, af ma'achila b'chazei v'shok. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says, what are you talking about? So we'll say, again, what's coming out over here is Rish Lakish says, essentially like this, when it comes to da'oraisas, we have to look at the fact that he is a safek ish, safek isha. We don't know what androgynous is. When it comes to da'oraisas, we'll be machmir. Therefore, no chazei v'shok, no truma d'oraisa for his wife, that is. However, again, when it comes to d'rabbanans, we could be mekel. Therefore, truma d'rabbanan, at a time when it's shelo bizman hamikdash, we will allow him to go ahead and entitle his wife to eat that. On the other hand, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan, amar af ma'achilu b'chazei v'shok. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. What is an androgynous, Rabbi Yochanan? According to Rabbi Yochanan, an androgynous is a zohar. He's a male. Rabbi Yochanan, what's coming out over here is the fundamental dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is not about truma. The fundamental machlokes is what? Is about the identity of the androgynous. According to Rish Lakish, the androgynous is a safek. Therefore, in cases where you're dealing with darai, says you'll be machmir, and in darabanans, you'll be mekel. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I know what you're talking about. An androgynous is a zohar. And also, by the way, that's what the Mishnah seems to say also, right? An androgynous is a zohar. Therefore, what? Rabbi Yochanan will go so far to even say, that the androgynous Cohen could even entitle his wife to eat chazei v'shok, biblical portions. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, mi savris truma bizman hazeh d'rabanan. So are you automatically assuming that truma bizman hazeh is d'rabanan? Amar Le'in Reish Lakish said, yes. Sha'ani shona, because, and I'll tell you why I know that truma is d'rabanan, because I had the following case. Sha'ani shona, eagle. So we'll say, again, let's be clear on what we're doing over here now. So we have fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of the nature of the androgynous. Is it a zachar? Is it a sofek zachar? Nafkamina will be androgynous kohen that marries a Yisraelis. So what does he entitle her to eat? According to Reish Lakish, because he's a sofek, he will only entitle her to eat what? Truma d'rabanan, nothing d'orayis. And even bizman mikdash, he won't even let her eat d'rabanan, lest she come to consume d'orayis. Rabbi Yochanan, absolutely unequivocally incorrect. Androgynous is a zachar, and therefore he marries her, entitles her to eat everything. Now Rabbi Yochanan opens up a sideline of question, which is Reish Lakish. Interestingly enough, you're saying now, when there's no beis hamikdash, truma is d'rabanan. So I just want, is that your shita? And Reish Lakish, Amar Le'in, Reish Lakish said, yes, and I'll tell you why. Sha'ani shona, because I have the following halacha. Ego bi'igulim. I will say, if you have a cake of pressed figs, look at Rashi for just a moment. Shani shona, braisa, eagle shall truma bottle, b'mea shall chulin, o eagle shall truma tzmea bottle, b'kuf igulim shall truma tohora. But so listen to this. So you have a cake of pressed figs, let's say a cake of pressed figs of truma, that gets mixed in with 100 cakes of pressed figs of chulin. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that the cake of pressed, the truma figs, are bottle in the non-truma figs in a ratio of 100 to 1. Rashi says, he says, "Batal b'meir shel chulin, o eagle shel truma tzmeir, batal b'kuf igulim shel truma Torah. V'truma bizman hazeh d'oraisa, kevan d'eagle davar chashuvu, v'darko limanos lo batal af agav the truma steinim drabanan, holu truma d'oraisa, no hagis balum avad lino rabanan gezira drabanan atu d'oraisa." So I'll tell you why I know that truma bizman hazeh is drabanan, because if a cake of truma figs gets mixed in with 100 cakes of chulin figs, the halacha is that the truma figs are bottle. The rabbi will say, if truma is daraisa, then what? Then those truma figs would not be bottle. The fact that they're bottle is because truma bizman hazeh is drabanan. Amrle, so Rabbi Yochanan responds, v'halo anishona, but I'll give you another halacha. Shchaticha b'chatichos ola. Rabbi will say, if you have one piece that gets mixed in with another piece. Now we're going to define this case a little bit later on, but one piece, let's assume right now, it's one piece of sacrificial meat that gets mixed in with other pieces of non-sacrificial meat. So ola. Now I will say, ola means what? Ola means it's bottle. it's bottle. So the Gemara says, Misavris. Now, one second, let's analyze this. Look at Rashi just a moment. I want to be clear on something. Truma of figs to begin with, is what? Is Dirabanon, according to Rashi. Is Dirabanon. Now remember, as we also saw according to Reish Lakish, is when Truma Da'oraisa applies, you are gozer on Truma Dirabanon, lest you come to do the same thing with Truma Daraisa. That's what we saw according to Reish Lakish. That, for example, in the Beis HaMikdash stands, we wouldn't let the wife of the androgynous coin eat Truma Darabanan, lest she come to go and eat Truma Daraisa. And I will say, now watch this. According to Reish Lakish, so if you were to, let's say the Beis HaMikdash is standing, Emir Tashem, and you have Truma figs that get mixed in with Chulin figs. According to Reish Lakish, what is the halacha? What is halacha? There's 100 times more chulin than truma. No, right? Why? Because even though it's dirabanan, because it's when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, we would say that the dirabanan truma figs are not batal, lest you come to apply the laws of bittul to a daraisa case as well. When the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, then we'll say that the truma figs are batal. Okay, that's Reish Lakish's shita. Rabbi Yochanan says, one second, I'm going to bring you a case of Doraisa, of what appears to be Doraisa, that are batal. What's the case? Chaticha bechatichos ola, that if one piece, ultimately we'll call it of sacrificial meat, Rashi says, Chaticha shel chatos tmeya, batal betahora, v'hach midi Doraisu, v'af agav ledarko limnos, dummy, savris kosher. So we'll say, okay, let's read this first in the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan, so I'm going to bring you a case, the Raisa case, where bittul does apply. A piece of sacrificial meat gets mixed in with a piece of sacrificial tame meat, gets mixed in with a whole bunch of pieces of ritually pure meat. So the halach is their bottle. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Mis savris, do you say, kol shadarko limnos shaninu, es shadarko limnos shaninu. So we'll say, listen to this. Now, when it comes to the laws of bittul, so there are two different ways. I mean, there's one or two different ways, but there's an interesting machlokes when it comes to bittul. There's the concept of kol shadarko limnos shaninu, which means we'll say anything, let's say it differently, any item that is normally sold as an individual unit or measured as an individual unit is chashuv, is important, and therefore not batal. But there are some items that are always sold as individual units, and there are some items that are commonly sold as individual units, but sometimes are sold as part of a group. That's this lashon over here. Kol shadarko limnos rabosa means anything that is commonly sold as individual units, not exclusively though, not always. And as shadarko limnos shaninu means something that is exclusively or always sold as an individual unit. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? Mikey, this is not, listen to this. Misha hayolo chavidei tilsa sabosai. Remember, what this says is, whenever looking at a case of bittul, you're always going to have to not just look at the ratio, but what? Look at the item that you're discussing. Is this an item that is normally reckoned as its own entity, or is this an item that is looked at as part of the collective group? This nan. Misha hayolo chavilei tilson, someone who had bundles of tilson. I will say tilson is fenugreek. Shel kloy akerev. And what happens? This is prohibited fenugreek, right? Contraband fenugreek, black market. Right? So what happens? So meaning it's kloy akerev. Kloy akerev means it's a forbidden mixture. So let's say again, yeah, the fenugreek growing next to your vines, and they grow together. So the halach is, that's klai akerem. What do you do with it? Yidliku, you have to burn it. Or else you have to destroy klai akerem. Nisarvu ba'acheres, but let's say again, a bundle of fenugreek falls in with other bundles. Mamish, now I've got problems. Nisarvu ba'acheres. So what's the halacha of the base? Kulon yidliku div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, it's not bottle, and therefore what? Everything has to be burned. Rashi says, "Kulon yidlaku." Listen to this. Delo batli kediktani time shari meir omer kol shadar kolimnos mekadesh eshamis arev bo. So it's okay. All right. I don't want to get ahead, but we'll see this. We'll see why in the Gemara in just a moment. Chum the chum say no. Yalu be'echadu masayim. Rabbi Meir Chacham say no. Rabbi say kloy hakerem, forbidden mixtures, right? Meaning items that grew as a result of forbidden mixtures are bottled in a ratio of 200 to 1. So as long as there's 200 parts of permitted fenugreek to the one part of prohibited fenugreek, the entire mixture becomes mutter. Now, I'll say, what's Rabbi Meir's logic of saying that lemaisa you have to burn the whole thing? Rabbi Meir omer kol shedarko limnos mekadesh. Because Rabbi Meir essentially says that lemaisa what? Anything, kol shedarko limnos mekadesh, means anything that is commonly sold as an individual unit, even if what? Even if it's not exclusively sold as an individual unit, by definition is choshev, and if it's choshev, it's not what? It's not batel. So we'll say, remember, again, this is a very important idea. We'll see this more in Chulin, but anything that's important, the greater the importance, the less the probability that the item will be batel in a mixture. So therefore, Reish Lakish, Reb Meir, is of the opinion that any item that is reckoned as an individual unit, even if not exclusively, but only some of the time, halacha lemaisa, again, is never batel. Is there a rebuttal? The Chum say, Eino Mekadish Ala Shish Dvarim Bilvad. The Chum say, no, that there are only six things. There are only six things that are considered to be exceptionally choshev that are never bottled. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's Shiva. There are really seven. And what are they? They both say, so these are all items. The common denominator of all these items in this list is that these items are all exclusively sold as individual units. And therefore, again, because of that, they're chashiv, and because they're chashiv, they fall into a mixture, they will never be batel. And what are the elohein? It goes a prach, prach nuts, ribone badan, so badan pomegranates, chavios stumos, sealed barrels of wine, chilfei traden, beet stalks, kolchei kruv, cabbage stalks, Dilaas Yivanis, everyone's favorite, the Greek gourd. Rabbi Akiva Mosif Af Kikaros Shabalabais. And Rabbi Akiva adds in over here, literally loaves made balabalabais. So we'll say, so that's different than, let's say, your factory produced bread, bakery bread, artisan bread. So these are all considered to be exceptionally chashiv, and therefore, if they fall into a mixture, they are never batel. Now we'll say, again, remember, these items would fall into the category of what we call of es shedakulim. So remember these terms. Kol shedarko limnos means an item that is commonly sold as an individual unit, but not exclusively. Es shedarko limnos means it is always reckoned as an individual unit. So the common denominator of all of these things is that these are always reckoned as individual units. Haru'uyin la'arla, la'klaya karam. So there are things over here that are subject to the laws of arla. So meaning if they are arla, and they fall into a mixture with other non-arla items, they are not bottle. And therefore, you're going to say, if they're not bottle, then what happens to the mixture? Everything. The mixture becomes aser. And there are other items here that are subject to the laws of klal yakarim. And therefore, if they are klal yakarim, they fall into a mixture with other permitted items. Lemaisa, again, they will render the entire mixture prohibited. Rabbi Yochanan says, es shedarka limno shaninu. So also Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that lemaisa es shedarka limno shaninu. That what? That lemaisa is something is commonly reckoned as an individual unit, even if not exclusively. If it falls into the mixture, it will not be bottle. And Reish Lakish, on the other hand, says that what? Kol shedarka limno shaninu. That at the end of the day, lemaisa, if something is always reckoned as an individual unit, then halacha lemaisa, again, it will render the entire mixture unfit. So the Gemara says the following. I will say, look at Rashi just a moment. Rabbi Yochanan Savar, as shadarko limnos, shemiyuchar b'minyan shaninu, edelo batil hilchach, chatichos v'igulim afagav shadarko limnos, hoyo shadarko nami limakir ba'omad batli. So I will say again, therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that lemaisa, this is why in the case of the dvela, remember the Braisa quoted the case of the pressed figs, of the truma figs that got mixed in with the non-truma figs. Rabbi Yochanan says that lemaisa, it's batel in a ratio of 100 to 1. Why? Because figs are sometimes sold as individual units. Sometimes they're not sold as individual units. On the other hand, Reish Lakish says that as long as something is sometimes sold as an individual unit, that endows it with a chashivos. That chashivos prevents it from becoming batel. And therefore, in the case of the truma figs that gets mixed in with the chulin figs, lemaisa, again, it's not batel. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. My chaticha. Now, we'll say, remember again, Rabbi Yochanan quoted this case of the chaticha that got mixed in with the other chatichos. What's this case? Tisanya, chaticha shel chatas tamayash and sarva b'meh chaticha shel chatas taura. Let's listen to this case. You have a piece of tamay chatas. Chatas is carbon chatas that became tamay. that was mixed in with 100 pieces of chatas tahorah. Now, also remember, the common denominator is all of the pieces here are sacrificial meat, but one of them happens to be tamei, and 100 of them happen to be tar. V'chein. Prusa shalachem aparim tmeah, shenis arva b'meya prusa shalachem aparim toros. Rabbo says similarly, if you have one piece of tamei lechem aparim bread that gets mixed in with 100 pieces of tahor lechem aparim bread, what is the halacha? Ta'ala. Rabbo says it is bottle. It is bottle. So the Gemara says, Ta'ala, Rabbi Huda says, no, lo ta'ala. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, holds that lemaisa, again, it's not bottle. We'll see why in just a moment. Aval chaticha shel chatas tahura shenis arva b'mei chatos shel chulin tahoros. But Rabbo say, let's say if you have one piece of chatos meat, tar chatos meat, that was mixed in with 100 pieces of tar chulin meat, v'chein prusa shalechem aparim tahora shenis arva b'mei prusa shel chulin tahoros. Or Rabbo say, you have one piece of lechem aparim bread, tar bread, that was mixed in with 100 pieces of tar chulin bread, divrei hakol lo ta'ala. Everyone agrees that it's not baltal. And I will say, why the distinction in that case? Because in the case where you have, let's say, the tamei chatas meat that gets mixed in with the tar chatas meat, so you have to employ the laws of bittul. Because if you don't employ the laws of bittul, then what? Then the entire mixture becomes prohibited. So the laws of bittul say that as long as you have a 100-to-1 ratio, you're okay. Same thing with lechem aponim. But if you have tahar bread that got mixed in with tar lechem aponim bread, or tahar chatas meat that got mixed in with tamei chatas meat, and Rabbo say what? No, I said that wrong. Excuse me. If you have tahar lechem aponim bread that is mixed in with tahar bread, chulin bread, or tahar chatas meat that was mixed in with tahar chulin meat, then everyone agrees that it's not bottle. Why, Rabbo say? Because even if you say that it's not bottle, the mixture is still permitted. Who is it permitted to? Kohanim. So Rabbi say, then Rashi points, I'm just not doing this inside just because of time, Rashi points this out, that therefore again, the only time we feel compelled to apply the laws of Bittul is when there is going to be a significant loss if we don't apply them. But if there's not going to be a dramatic loss as a result of non-application of the laws of Bittul, then we'd rather not apply them. So the Gemara says, Katani mihas reisha tala. But what you do see again in the first case is we do apply the laws of Bittul. So you see over here that lemaisa, again, look at Rashi, Katani mihas reisha tala, kash the reish lakish, damar kol shadarkolim no shaninu, da'ach adarkolim no sabatol. So we'll say again, remember, what do you see in the first case of the Mishnah? In the first case of the Mishnah, of the Braisa, you see again that you have a piece of chatas meat, you have a piece of lechem aparim. And I both say, these are things that are chashuv individual pieces. And sometimes they would be reckoned individually, and yet what the Braisa says, there's still bottle. It's a kashan Rish Lakish, because according to Rish Lakish, any item that is reckoned individually, even if it's not exclusively reckoned individually, is not bottle. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya b'Rei d'Rav Huna b'nei Mucha. Oh, what's the case? The case over here is where the forbidden item dissolved. If the forbidden item dissolved, that even meaning it's no longer in existence, even Rish Lakish would agree that what? That Lamaisi, you could apply the laws of Bittul. Ihachi, if that's the case, my time to Rabbi Yehuda, then what's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda who says that we do not apply the laws of Bittul? To which the answer, Rabbi Yehuda has a different problem. Rabbi Yehuda la tamei tap of pei beis. Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his reasoning because he says, the Amar min bemino lo bottle. Because we'll say, yeah, we'll get into this more in Mirtz Hashem. And coming up in more in Chulin, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that min bemino is not bottle. That when you have, that the only time according to Rabbi Yehuda that the concept of bittul applies is when you have two dissimilar items. But if you have two similar items, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the laws of bittul never apply. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is not an issue of es shadarko limnos, kol shadarko limnos. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, anytime you have a mixture of two like substances, the laws of bittul will never apply. All right, the boss will stop over here. Yes, tomorrow's a Sunday schedule. So davening is at 7, I believe it's 7:15, 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. And daf yomi will amir to shem follow the 7:15 minyan.